This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to New York, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, everybody. This is Vasna Farhead of the People Speak radio show. Here we believe when the people speak, they make a difference. You can listen to the People Speak live on VBS Radio every Tuesday night at 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time or by going to our website at thepeoplespeakradio.com. There you can listen live to shows or to our past shows on our iPod Ready archive section. That's thepeoplespeakradio.com. And if you have a Nokia phone, you can also listen live via satellite. Just go to the website for details on how to do that. I'm delighted to have a fascinating woman by the name of Barbara Kassoff, who originated from my home state, Michigan. Barbara Kassoff is the president and CEO and co-founder of Women Impacting Public Policy Incorporated, a nonprofit bipartisan public policy advocacy organization with over 500,000 members, including 49 business organizations, educating and advocating on economic issues for women in business. Barbara, welcome to the People Speak.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here with you.
I had the pleasure of meeting you at a recent event in Michigan, and it was just a fascinating understanding. One of the things that you had a talent for was helping, I think, to calm the nerves of women in business. And there were a lot of women that day, Barbara, that were concerned, that had serious questions about funding, and you had your finger on every aspect of that. I just wanted to say bravo. When you spoke, one of the things, part of the inspiration was finding your voice in public policy. Can you tell us, Barbara, how a woman in this country, in this economy, can find her voice in public policy?
Absolutely. I think it is certainly a very difficult time in America right now, difficult for all of the citizens in America. And certainly difficult for small business owners, and as they strive to keep their businesses afloat, to make sure that they can meet payroll, and that they can, in fact, if not grow their businesses right at this time, sustain their businesses. So it's a difficult time, and the question is, what difference can they make? Can a small business owner make? Or what difference, as a matter of fact, can any American make today? I think we talked when we met in Michigan about the difficult political climate. It's very partisan right now. Not much happens because people are bickering. People are not responding. People, I think, for the most part, are living in an information bubble where they're hearing only one point of view. And they're unwilling and oftentimes not only unwilling to listen, but in some sense disrespectful to another point of view. And at WIP, we are very careful. WIP is the organization that I lead, that I'm president of. And what we want to do is encourage everybody to make sure that not only do they listen to the facts, not only do they listen to all sides of the story, but then that they participate in what makes America so great. And that's the ability for them to contact their elected official, to develop a relationship with their elected official, to be able to explain to him or her what is most important. And the difference, I think, to come back to where you started off in this conversation, is do women have a voice, and is that voice the same or is it different? Well, I think that women have a unique opportunity today. I think that if women were running this country, I think we wouldn't have as much of the incivility as we hear today. And then I think that women play a much greater role in this economy than people even begin to suspect. So I can give you a quick example. We just did a survey to find out what the economic impact of women-owned small businesses are in America. And, you know, it turns out that we employ 16% of the U.S. workforce. That's pretty significant.
Amazing.
And if we employ so much of this workforce, we should have a greater voice than we do right now. And I think we can and could and should have this voice, but the issue is that many women don't feel that they do have it. So with WIP, what we've tried to do are a couple of things. Number one, make sure that they have all of the information and the facts that they need. That means not what the pundits say, not what the newsmakers say or the opinion makers say, but really the facts of what's going on in policy today that is affecting their lives and their families and their employees. So number one, they have to understand the facts, and WIP brings that to them. Then number two, most people don't understand that they should and could have a relationship with the senator or the House member that they voted for and elected into office. And not only should they have that relationship, but that senator, that U.S. senator or that House member wants to know who they are. They will fall all over themselves to help them out. So we encourage every member of WIP to pick up the phone, call your U.S. senator's office, their local office right in your city or right nearby where you are, make an appointment, go in, meet the staff person there, introduce yourself, tell them all about your business, get to know them, and you will be surprised that one day, probably in the not-too-far future from that meeting, they'll get a phone call and from that senator himself or herself or that House member and saying, "Susan, it was so great to meet you. I have a question about some policy that I'm working on right now. Can you tell me what you think about that?" It's shocking, but it happens over and over and over again to our members. Once we help them learn how to develop a relationship. So I think those are two really important and critical things that women can do. Remember, we're juggling an awful lot. We're working and we're professionally employed, or we own our own businesses. We have families that we're taking care of. Often we have elderly parents. We have a lot to say, and if we can be authentic, if we can know the real facts behind the issues, and if we can tell our senator or House member, "Look, I understand why you're suggesting this. I don't think it's a good idea because," and then you list it out, and then you say, "But here's what I think is a good idea." You can't believe how that will position you as a credible, sound voice in your community, in your state, and even on the national stage.
One of the things that I found was very powerful. I agree 100%. I believe that a lot of people are so committed and convinced that the senators and congresspeople are so unapproachable that somehow once they've elevated to a position like that, they become something other than human, and people are really hesitate to even bother with them, thinking, well, who am I to go approach somebody like that? But that's the interesting thing. And when I am, for myself, it's never been a problem. I think you figured out from the workshop that I have, no problem meeting people. And
right.
So,
But it's scary, isn't it?
I know my senators personally, on a personal level. I happen to know the mayor of our cities. I know three of the mayors of areas that I'm in the work in. I don't have any problem. They know me by first name. So that kind of thing is not foreign to me, and I think that a lot of people have to understand that these people are approachable, and you need to approach them in order to become an advocate with a voice that does impact policy.
They are human beings just like you and me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And they need to know, and they need us more, almost more than we need them, because we vote them into office or out of office. So that's really a very critical point. But they are, they're normal, average human beings, and sometimes, and I like to think that for the most part, they are well-intentioned, they mean well, they want to serve their constituents, they want to do what the right thing is, but sometimes they just don't know what that right thing is. And that's our responsibility, that's our obligation. And, you know, we can whine and scream and cry about how incompetent they are, or what mistakes they're making, or how we disapprove. But is that really right to do if you don't take that first step and say, sir or madam, I understand where you're coming from, but let me tell you what the real facts are here. This is what it's going to mean. This is what this tax is going to mean to my income or to my family. This is what this policy, the healthcare legislation is going to mean. Whatever the issue is that's going on that you're talking about, that you have a perspective about. But the key is, and you know this as well as anybody, always be respectful, always have your facts straight, and always provide solutions, and never whine. Whining doesn't get you anywhere, not at home, not in your business, and certainly not when you're dealing with members of the House or Senate.
I think once I heard it put in a really a humorous way, it's time to get your big girl panties on, ladies.
I know, like that.
It's true. There have been, and recently, even as strong a person as I tend to find myself to be, recently my husband has suffered a stroke, and I was really having a crummy week. This was right after I had met you in Ann Arbor. And to be quite honest with you, I was very frustrated. We had a big snowstorm. I'm running around. I'm trying to handle everything, trying to keep my big girl pants. And that's what I did. What ended up happening is I got stuck in the snow in the driveway. Well, no matter how many things I've ever done, I've never actually had to shovel myself out of my own driveway. Somehow my husband always managed to do it for me. And I looked and I said, well, it's time to get your big girl panties on, girl. I ran into the garage, got the shovel, shoveled myself out, and kept on driving. It's what you have to do. And, you know, let me ask you, Barbara, one of the fascinating things that I also found out, you know, you took the fear out of government contracting. You explain so many things and so many nuances about how to handle government contracts, how, and obviously dealing with your representatives in your area, it was a big part of this.
Yeah.
And that the funding is there. How much funding is there for women today?
There is almost $6 billion that's on the table right there for us. And many women are afraid to approach federal contracting, or they say, well, will the government buy what I have to sell? Well, the fact is the government buys almost everything. So whether you're selling a product, lipstick or deodorant or anything like that, or maybe you're a writer or a trainer, or you do marketing or advertising, or you manufacture certain bolts. Anything like that, the government will buy. And the opportunity is there for you. And in this difficult economic time that we have, it is a new source of revenue for you, for a woman business owner. And I think that with a little bit of preparation, a little bit of research and time, you can open up the door to opportunities that you hadn't thought existed. We have a member who 4 years ago said, I'm going to do that. She was what's called a supply chain. She was in supply chain management. She worked for a company, and that means she tracks people or objects or things wherever they go around the world. That's what she does for a living. So she did her homework. She took 3 or 4 months, and she did her research to figure out what government agencies would use supply or had a need for supply chain management. And she did all her homework. She laid out what her messages would be. She prepared her collateral, her marketing collateral. She spent three months working on it. The first year, she earned $250,000 in revenues. The second year was she hit $1 million. The third year was about $2.5 million. And now the fourth year, she feels is going to close well over $5 million.
Amazing.
But the secret
amazing.
Was
and because
that
I don't
prepared.
Want anybody to because I don't want anybody to get confused. What you're saying is there is funding out there to the tune of $6 billion available for women's
women-owned businesses.
And from there. The what you can sell, and I think that this the interesting story was Jennifer. I think it was Jennifer Biscioli, Bisegli at the event. Now this is a woman who didn't have a business, went after a grant, designed a business over the grant, got the grant, and now has two multi-million-dollar government contracts. Didn't even have a business to start with. Now, the creativity...
Yeah, it's incredible. You can do it.
It's amazing.
And, you know, when you have your own business, don't you take time before you walk in and knock on the door of a company to find out, do they already buy the product or service that you sell? Do they have a need for it? Who's the decision maker there? Do you have competitors that are already selling to them? What are the price points? I mean, don't you, when you're in business, you do all that stuff anyway in the private sector. So you really have to do the same thing in the public sector. And that means for the government. It's just that the government is much bigger. So you need to organize yourself. And there's lots of help and lots of resources available right in your neighborhood to help you do that. They don't charge you for it.
Exactly.
That's what the SBA is there for, the Small Business Administration.
as well as PTAC, which is a
That's right. All of these people are ready to help you take that step. But before you walk in that door, you need to be real clear in your mind as to what it is you want to accomplish. What is it that you have to sell? What are your marketing messages? Then they'll help you fine-tune it. They'll help you develop your strategy to figure out which government agencies can or will buy what you have to sell. They'll help you make the contacts to do that. All of that, all of those services are available at no cost to you, but you want to organize yourself and prepare first. And we have on our giveme5.com site, that's giveme5 with the number 5, and a lot of podcasts and the PowerPoints that go with them up there that are available for everybody that will help you figure out what it is that you need to do so that when you go in to the SBA and to the PTAC, you know the right questions to ask. You know exactly where to go.
Now, one of the things that that I found interesting was after meeting you and experiencing your message, which was very, very clear, very prolific, and very soothing, I think, to business people, was that WIP, the organization, has incredible resources for women, potential women entrepreneurs, or existing women entrepreneurs. And
absolutely.
Not only that, but you did meet with Michelle Obama to discuss mm-hmm. the issues of what was happening and finding out how you could impact and how WIP could impact public policy for women's businesses and for a voice in for women. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, one of the things that's really important to emphasize is that WIP is not a Republican organization. It's not a Democratic organization. We are focused on the issues. We are not party-driven. We are issue-driven. So whatever the issue is, if it's lending and access to capital for women-owned businesses, we work with Republican and Democratic senators, Republican and Democratic House members, to help make sure or ensure that the kinds of policies that need to be in place are in place so that access to money is loosened. And it's interesting that you mention that. We're just launching the end of this week. I'll give you a quick preview, a brand new site called womenaccessingcapital.com that's going to give a whole bunch of resources and webinars and podcasts that are going to be available that are going to take you from the beginning steps of getting those foundational strategies, getting your business, your house in order, to if you're ready to go out and get that loan, and to meet with the banker, what do you have to have ready? How do you put together a polished presentation so that you get that loan?
And what was that
series of
site again, Barbara?
womenaccessingcapital.com. And you'll be able to find it also off of the WIP site. So we're putting together different portals just like that, all with comprehensive educational resources for women-owned businesses, whether they're just starting out or they've been in business for 5 years and are ready for that second stage growth. And then we have all of our members who love to be mentors and network and be friends and help you along.
Well, that's amazing. You know, we do have a question from one of our audience members, our listeners. And Alice from New York would like to ask you, does Ms. Kazoff feel that President Obama is for small business, considering his recent bailouts of Wall Street, banks, and corporate-biased health care he's helped push through?
Okay. That's a very charged question, and I was really careful to say that WIP is issue-driven. We do not support or oppose, for example, in healthcare, and that's what Alice addressed. We did not support or oppose the healthcare legislation because WIP is focused only on small business issues in small business provisions. So we negotiated very heavily for factors that concerned small businesses that were really important. The health care reform bill was bigger than everybody, and I think bigger than Congress to deal with. So we focused on what would make sense for a small business owner. And we worked really hard on the exchanges, for example, so that when we know that our members are getting hit with 30% and 40% premium rates, we got to make sure that competition, our free enterprise and our market-driven system is in order and is in place so that they can look for more price competitive solutions in the marketplace. So you can you can take a look on the WIP website for what exactly were the small business provisions that we worked for, and take a look at that. So
I think
that will help you understand where WIP comes from.
Thank you, and thank you for the question. Samantha from Illinois would like to ask, what kind of grants or funding are available for women, and where do you apply?
Okay, well, there are a lot of grants that are available, and it depends on what you're looking for. Are you looking for funds to start a business, to grow, or you already have a business and you want to grow your business? Some of that we're going to be dealing with in womenaccessingcapital.com. Very briefly, there's a site called grants.gov where you can take a look at different grants that are out there and see if there's something there that makes sense for you. But once again, you have to be really clear in your mind what it is you're looking for. If it's business growth capital, the SBA lending might be best for you, or bank lending might be best for you. But you better have your marketing plan, your business plan, your pro formas ready before you start looking for that grant or start looking for that money. Never is the point, do you want to start off with, well, I'm thinking about doing this, and I want $50,000 to start me off. And they're going to look at you and say, well, I want $50,000 too. But before I give it to you, I want to know exactly what you intend to do with that money, how you're going to be able to pay it back.
Grant writing is an interesting life story. I happen to know a lot of people that do that for a living. Many of them from city coalition groups that are funded strictly by grants. And really, that's what they do all day long is write grants.
That's right.
And they're
good at that. They know how to do it.
Yeah, and they've been trained how to do it. So it isn't something that you enter into lightly, but the issue is that women like Barbara Kassoff, organizations such as hers, WIP, Women Impacting Public Policy, PTAC, all of grant.gov, offer a range of information for you to start your process. And it is a process, Barbara.
Absolutely.
And you make it, I have to tell you, I was so impressed that I just had to have you on the show. I'm so grateful that you came, because I think my biggest concern now is that people are so, as I said in the beginning of the show, that people are so afraid and they don't know where to turn. So I'm hoping to be able to offer situations and information and people that can tell you where to turn. There's $6 billion for women entrepreneurs in government money waiting for you to be had. Go out and get your piece of the pie, but
That's right.
with your big girl panties on.
That's right. It's not gonna rain down on you. You got to go after
it. No, it isn't. And I think that was the other big thing, the hugest thing that I came across is that you a mystified federal and government contracts, and that you reminded women that it was time to grow up and it was time to take your place in public policy. And Barbara, I appreciate you tremendously. I hope to get to know you in the future even more, and maybe have you on our new cable show that's coming up. Next time you're in Michigan, hopefully I will hear from you and we'll go from there.
Terrific. Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
It was my pleasure indeed. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Barbara Kassoff, and that's WIP. You can look it up. And we'll take a break. Coming back to our next guest.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. Thousands of sick and dying patients find marijuana effective as a medicine, including cancer, MS, and AIDS patients. 9 states have legalized its use. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
Got questions? The library's got answers, and books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
Are you appalled that our country is spending billions on war while cutting funds for our libraries, hospitals, and schools? Are you heartsick at the suffering of the Iraqi people? Then join me, Medea Benjamin, in signing Code Pink's urgent call for peace in Iraq. Sign on today at www.womensaynotowar.org.
We teach them how to tie their shoes. They teach us how to live our lives. We teach them long division. They teach us how to bank online. Our children will always outgrow us, but for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children aged 6 to 11 has doubled. The percent of overweight teenagers tripled. Obesity kills. Heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, all are linked to obesity, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children live, where children will use them. Finding out how you can help is as easy as tying your shoes. Log on to earthshare.org now, a public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine having banks and credit that serve the community, solvent and free of Wall Street corruption, that create strong local economy and job growth? Banks that put profits right back into the local business and economy, not into far-off foreign investments or high-risk and exotic finance schemes of the super-rich.
Yes, we can.
Can you imagine eliminating income tax, ensuring economic stability, increasing social programs, and improving the standard of living for all Americans while paying off the federal debt?
Yes, we can.
That's right. It's all possible.
Yes.
Can you join us in working towards a solution utilizing principles suggested by our founding fathers through united action and strategies outlined in articles, blogs, and Wicca spaces where you can share and collaborate? Please visit Ellen Brown's website, webofdebt.com, and help us make America's money and future of, by, and for the people once again. Can you do that?
Yes, we can.
Caution. If you are prone to being disturbed by real truth and real solutions, please continue to consult with your qualified Wall Street cheerleader economists on network television. Side effects for not visiting webofdebt.com include drowsiness, loss of job, loss of control of national finance, loss of country, followed by panic attacks and rude awakenings.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the People Speak Radio. It's a pleasure having you all in with us this evening. My name is Basma Farhat, and I'm the host. We ordinarily run a longer show, but tonight we had I had an opportunity to experience a wonderful woman in my area here in our neck of the woods in Michigan in Livonia. And Colleen Mills is a member of the Citizens for Peace. Now, the Citizens for Peace is a peace organization that is active in our local community. And she was telling me about an event that I was unaware of in our area. And I said, well, let's go on air tonight and talk about it. Hi, Colleen. How are you?
Hello, Basma. I'm wonderful. And thanks for the opportunity for me to invite people to this exciting event we're hosting here in Livonia, Michigan. It is the...
Can you tell us, before we get started on that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Colleen, and how you got involved with peace work?
Absolutely. I taught in Detroit for 35 years, and when I retired, my husband knew I would miss the children so much because I loved it, and he planned a trip around the country. And when I came back, I got an invitation to a conference to organize the Michigan campaign for a Department of Peace, and I thought, boy, do we need that. And I went to the conference, and when I said that I had retired, everyone said, well, you can be the leader, and the rest is history. And I have not
like
retired.
Peace organization. That certainly sounds like the way it works. You know, we'll take any live, breathing body.
I'm telling you, and it was, well, we actually, we founded the Citizens for Peace. We were the 11th district, and now we're broader than that. It's a group of active citizens that came together. We wanted to be community leaders, and we wanted to learn and educate ourselves and the public on the practices and principles of nonviolence and encourage the passage of the Department of Peace legislation. I really appreciated your previous guest, Barbara, talking about citizen activism, and we have lobbied in Washington, and we've had conferences and Midwest conferences, and you know, and we have just realized it is our power. We can make our future better, and I really believe in empowering women. So that was very exciting to listen to. And so anyway, the Citizens for Peace came together 6.5 years ago. Our first meeting was Veterans Day 2003, and this small group just brainstormed what we wanted to do, and we wanted to create a more peaceful world and a culture of peace. We were tired of the violence, and so we have done incredible things in the last 6.5 years. I would encourage everyone to go to our little blog. It's www.citizensforpeace11.blogspot.com, and they can read about our pages of accomplishments and all of our activities. But the latest one we're very excited about is hosting the Department of Peace Midwest Regional Conference. So I would like to invite all of your listeners in Illinois and Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, Ohio, Wisconsin, and, of course, Michigan. And if they want to come from all over, we welcome everyone. to a very exciting conference at Madonna University the weekend of May 14th to 16th. And we have our executive director of the National Peace Alliance, Lynn McMullen, will be joining us from Oregon, and Robert Kohler is coming in. He's an award-winning author from the Chicago Sun-Times. He'll be leading us in writing our messages of peace from the heart. And the Citizens for Peace Education Director, Rosemary Doyle, is going to teach us about restorative practices and peace circles. And we're so honored to have Bishop Gumbelton as our keynote speaker on Sunday morning. And a local businesswoman from Marquette, Sue Bellinger, who owns the company Puzzles with a Purpose, has donated 150 of her wonderful World Global Pieces puzzles for the first 150 people that register, and so there's still time to register and take advantage of that wonderful offer. She'll be driving down with a truckload of her puzzles. So it's just going, and the students, we have Polly Egan Burnett, who is the president of the Schoolcraft Peace Alliance. Our Citizens for Peace group sponsored the group to go to the National Peace Alliance, Student Peace Alliance conference in Austin, Texas, a few weeks ago, and her group will be reporting about all the exciting things they learned about the Youth Promise Act, which is another piece of legislation other than the Department of Peace legislation we're supporting. It's very bipartisan bill. There are 234 co-sponsors in the House and 12 in the Senate, and it would focus on helping to decrease youth violence. It's really sad in this country when we have so many young people, 16 young people killed every day. We want to do something about it, and we are not afraid to talk to our legislators and ask them for their support of important legislation that will really make a difference in the lives of so many people. So I'm really excited about this conference and the work of the Citizens for Peace.
You're also going to be having the winners of the Peace Essay Contest, if I'm not mistaken?
Absolutely. Our April 13th meeting, it's Tuesday, April 13th at Unity of Livonia, we'll have the Peace Awards ceremony for the winners of the essay contest, the Peace Essay Contest that we've sponsored for the second year for the Season for Nonviolence. And mm-hmm. there are six winners, three high school, three college winners, winning $250, $100, and $50. And they'll be getting their certificate and reading their essays about violence. I would encourage everyone in the area to come and support the young people that took the time to do this extra beyond their schoolwork and submit this essay. They had to use two of the references from our peace collection or peace bibliography that the Citizens for Peace has donated over 200 books on peace and nonviolence housed at the Livonia Civic Center Library, but it's available to the entire library network. And we have a peace bibliography of over 560 titles that is also available. There have been over 800 downloads throughout the country of the peace bibliography. And so that's the kind of work that we are doing and the impact a small group can have when they are passionate about creating a better world. So we invite everyone to come.
It sounds like an incredible number of events. And what was the date at the Unity Studio? I'm sorry, speaking of the Allen Park Unity Studio. they're customers of ours. The Unity Church, which I know personally as an incredible place. That was the 13th you said that was going to be on?
Yes, April 13th at 7 o'clock. We'll have the Peace Awards ceremony. Mm-hmm. And
very
we have
Kevin.
Pardon?
Great. And I may even try to jump over there and meet some of these young people if I have an opportunity.
Oh, that would be so wonderful.
Well, actually, I'd love to meet you. Here we are, peace activists, two peas in a pod, and we don't have never even met. That's it. Just
well,
goes
it was
to show you how
to
many
be.
Incredible. Yeah, it is. It just goes to show you how many incredible people are working as advocates for peace in our country, in our world, in and how vital it is to our citizenry. You know, people I think have gotten caught up in this genre of pessimism and anger and rage that we've forgotten that there are a lot of other really nice, peaceful people out there that are advocating, lobbying, and working towards creating peace in on so many different fronts.
Absolutely. Can I share one of my favorite quotes from Thich Nhat Hanh?
Please do.
Peace is not simply the absence of violence. It is the cultivation of understanding, insight, and compassion combined with action. Peace is the practice of mindfulness, the practice of being aware of our thoughts, our actions, and the consequences of our actions. I shared that quote at a recent Pax Christi conference when I did a presentation about the Department of Peace. And I just love Thich Nhat Hanh and the calmness that he brings. When you see him, if you've seen him in any videos or you read his material, it's very inspiring. And we all start with our own inner peace, and that's the focus of the Citizens for Peace, because we know it starts with all of us in our hearts. And so... That's what motivates us, because we know we can bring that inner peace from our own hearts out into the world. We can make a difference if we have the courage to speak out and speak the truth. And so that's what we do.
That is amazing, Colleen, because one of the things that I've always said, people think that it takes some kind of great inspirational courage to go and become a warrior, but I don't think so. I think it takes more courage to fight all the demons that exist in our world, whether they're internal or external, and reach out a hand in peace than it takes to reach out a gun in war. Mm. And I wish people could understand that it isn't an element of just going to war with other nations. The war will consume you if you're a warrior, if that's all you're based on. I'd like to read the mission statement for the Citizens for Peace. The mission of the Citizens for Peace is to be responsive community leaders centered on learning, educating, and facilitating the practices and principles of nonviolence in our world. We encourage the empowerment of active citizenry and the passage of the Department of Peace legislation currently before the House of Representatives. Now, for those of you that have never heard of this, it's a very important piece of legislation. And I really think that getting the word out about this legislation is vital to what is happening in our country today. We cannot enter into more wars. We must start to retreat. We must start to empower our countries and our communities in more of a cooperative balance than, say, I think that this element of capitalism has really engulfed us. You know, we became so capitalized that we are always at odds with each other. It's no longer a cohesive environment for anything, not for creating peace, not for creating cohesive business, as Barbara Kassoff was talking about earlier. All of these things are part of the process of creating cohesive existence with each other. And war does not do that. War is the antithesis of that.
Absolutely. When my husband and I attended the first World Peace Forum in Vancouver a couple summers ago, Dennis Kucinich and Marianne Williamson were on a panel discussing the Department of Peace, and I remember Dennis saying, you can bomb the world to pieces, but you can't bomb the world to peace. It has never worked, it won't work, and so we have got to have a new structure. Like Buckminster Fuller said, you can never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that that makes the existing model obsolete, and that's what a Department of Peace does. However, it's not new. It goes back to the founding of our country, the concept to have a Department of Peace. George Washington believed in it, and you know, hundreds of bills have been introduced. The time is now. It is really now. We're moving in the right direction with President Obama changing the policy on first strike with nuclear weapons, thank goodness. And so we're moving in this new direction, and what we need are more people being aware that if they say this is what we want, it will happen. We will finally have a Secretary of Peace in a cabinet-level position who is able to talk to the president about alternatives to violence that don't work. And so the other thing with the Department of Peace legislation, House Resolution 808, 85% of the money of that department would stay right here in the United States to deal with all of the violence, the child abuse, and the
now
racial
that is
violence.
Huge. Keep
all
of keep our economy and our money here to help Americans. That's
yes.
That is a instead of going elsewhere to fight other people. And this is May 14th through the 16th at Madonna University.
Yes.
It is the Citizens for Peace Conference, Making Peace a Priority, a Vision,
well, it's,
Experience.
It's the Department of Peace Midwest Regional Conference, and we're
okay,
just hosting
it
as one of the groups in the state of Michigan helping to move this effort forward. And so please go to our blog, www.citizensforpeace11.blogspot.com, and they can find out all of the information. Come join us because it's really wonderful, joyful work. And I think if people...
Well, I thank you, Colleen.
Oh.
I'm afraid this is it for the evening,
folks.
Time's up
already.
I know it does
so
fast when you're talking with wonderful people like yourself.
Thank you,
Colleen.
You. Really
I wish you luck.
Thanks.
Please keep me informed on all of this, and I will hopefully I'll be able to get to one of the events at Madonna.
That would be so wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. You
Good
have
night,
a great
everyone.
Evening.
Bye.
Good night, everyone, folks. That's it for the People Speak next week. Scott Anderson will be our guest. Come and talk to a real live biker. Good night, everybody.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the sea, by the relief of death, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.